Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. Today, we are continuing with International Poetry Month. The theme, speaking of intimacy, we have a guest speaker, Cheryl Guidry, who is a relationship coach. We're going to talk about intimacy within relationships and sexuality. So let's go in and hear that conversation right now. Good afternoon and welcome to Powered by Age, Canada's longest running senior-led podcast. I'm Charlotte Sister C. Farrell, your host, and I'm sharing our land acknowledgement. As a settler of color, I respectfully acknowledge that I'm an uninvited guest on the unceded Coast Salish lands, including the Tsleil-Waututh, Kekwilim, Squamish, Musqueam, and Kazi Nations. This is the last week of National Poetry Month, whose theme is speaking of intimacy. We've spoken about and had poems dealing with spiritual intimacy, parent-child intimacy, and today's question is, are we old enough and bold enough to talk about relationship and sexual intimacy? Our special guest today is relationship coach Cheryl Guidry, founder of Safe Dating Over 50. She's a holistic nurse practitioner with over 17 years experience as a women's health expert. And she's a number one Amazon bestselling contributing author in the anthology Empowerpreneurs. She's an inspirational international speaker who enjoys sparking lovely, lively discussions. So we're going to have that today. One of the things that we begin with is having the Zoomsters who come on early briefly introduce themselves. And then we will be having this discussion with Cheryl. And then later, some of our regular Zoomsters will unwrap and share any poem that they brought. And I'm going to reveal a hot off the grill poem that a group of 70-ish ladies bugged me and challenged me to share called.
Oh, wow.
So Leslie, we'll start with you introducing yourself.
Yes. Hi, I'm Leslie Hebert and I live in New Westminster and I've been married to my husband, Mike, for over 50 years.
So you may know a thing or two about relationships.
Maybe. Okay. All I know is I don't know what I don't know. And I learn things that I don't know all the time.
Tashimi?
Hello, everyone. Good to be here. Yeah, I really wanted to come on to hear the guest speaker and to hear Charlotte's poem and everybody's poems, and I brought something, but it's old and it's kind of dark, but there's a happy ending at the end of it anyway, so everybody else go before me, that I don't need to read it, but if there's time I will.
Neil?
Yeah, my name is Neil Ryan. I am the author of a book that I don't have in front of me somewhere. I'm the author of From the Other Side, rather spiritually oriented book of poetry and short stories. And I'm an old guy.
Do tell.
Seriously old.
Chris?
I'm Chris Morrissey, and I live in East Vancouver. And I'm a member of CORKI, the Queer Imaging and Writing Collective for Elders. And relationship stuff. I was in a relationship with my partner for 39 years, and she died about 6 years ago. So I consider myself to be a widow. It's a funny language, but that's what I am. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anne?
Hi. I guess I'm a newbie.
Welcome.
Thank you. I met Sister C at a art show at the Museum of Anthropology. I don't have any writings, but I received an invitation, and I would love to listen. And one thing I want to quickly announce is that I've been in a seniors photography group now for 2 years. It's winding down, and we have a show in the Pendulum Gallery on Georgia Street across from the Vancouver Art Gallery through May 13th. And it's getting good reviews. So if you're ever downtown, please check it out between 10 and 6 every day.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And if you also send me an email about it, we can send it out to people so they can go.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you.
And just to give a pre-announcement for what we're going to be doing in May and June. May, we're going to be doing something special. We have a guest, Kendra, for Mother's Day weekend, but we also are going to be talking about gardening, having other stories, and Anne is a part of a community garden. So we'll be hearing more from her.
Okay.
Ramona?
Hi, everyone. I'm Ramona. I am a retired professor from Mumbai University. And I'm very happy to be with all of you, mainly because everyone is so inspiring. You all have some very special, unique things to always speak about, and that makes me really, really happy to be with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. So now it brings it around to my special pleasure of introducing Cheryl, who will have an interesting, inspiring, invoking conversation with us.
Hey, hi. Again, I'm Cheryl Guidry, and I'm such a pleasure to be here. I met Sister C through a mutual friend in the Connected Women of Influence, and it's been wonderful seeing the work that she does. But what I do is I am a relationship coach, and for women that are over 50, single women over 50 who are trying to get back to themselves and get their life together after even being widowed or breakups, or just trying to enjoy the second half of their life, you know, and date if they want to, you know. And so I show them how to do that safely. I'm the founder of Safe Dating Over 50. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited to hear about this topic, talking about intimacy, because there's so many different aspects of intimacy. You know, we think about the physical intimacy. We think about the kissing and the sex and hugging. But there's so many parts to being intimate, especially as we become more vintage. it's not the same as when we were in our 20s. You know, so, but you can still have an intimate relationship at any age. I have had clients that are in, the last one was like in 75 years old. I have a coworker whose mom was 106, and she was still experiencing intimacy, more physical intimacy. I had never heard of that. So she's the top on the list. So all that to say is that in the second phase of your life, there can always be an intimacy in your life, sex, relationships, if that's what you want to have. But there's different aspects of it. So I'm welcome to answer any questions you have about this topic. But I want to first go over the different types other than the physical. You have the emotional intimacy, you know, and that's just where you're maybe have a friend, a close friend. You're not dating, but you're touching. You go out to a movie. You go bowling. There's that emotional connection, someone that you could talk to about close feelings with. It has to encompass trust, and it involves sharing your most deepest part of yourself. Because when you're sharing with other people or another person, the more you know about them, the more intimate you become. And so as you become more intimate, you may change in the phase of intimacy that you are in that relationship. Then there's intellectual intimacy. We all have to move from here. We all have different types of different intellectual levels. And so when we're seeking a partner or someone to connect with, sometimes if you're someone who is very intellectual, you may be drawn to someone who has the love of, let's say, going to the theater, or someone who has a love of travel. There's an intimacy that is formed just because of how your brain thinks together, how you relate to each other, how you connect in that area. So then we have a creative intimacy. This is another less often discussed type of intimacy, but it's one that is still important. Creative intimacy refers to like when we express ourselves through passions. Like I have a passion for traveling and connecting with people that I don't know. So when we engage in a creative intimacy, we're opening up our creative side to someone else. And when we're sharing our gifts and our talents with someone who has the same interests, we become more passionate in turn and sharing with that person. So there's all different ways to connect intimacy. Any questions so far?
No.
No?
Anyone else have a question so far?
No. Okay, and then there's experimental intimacy. And this is where you have people who share a life event. Like initially, I was attracted to other people who had experienced and gone through a divorce. You know, I had gone through a divorce and was entering the second chapter of my life. And so those people who had gone through that life trial, a life journey, I was attracted to them because we had similar experiences and we got to share our experiences and how we got through. And this is another way that when couples or people trying to connect with another person, a life partner, these are the types of things that help you to connect. It's just not all a physical thing. You know, it has to do with what you're passionate about and connect to someone that has some of the same passions. Because we're more deliberate in the second phase of our life. You know, we want to do more things more intentionally. So those are ways to be more intimate. So let's talk about, go back and talk about the physical, the sexual intimacy. How many people here believe that there's not a lot of sexual intimacy after age, let's say, I'm putting it up, after age 70. There's intimacy in every decade above 50, that's where I'm gonna focus on, of life. And if you choose to have a sexual relationship or have a relationship that grows into a sexual experience, you can do that until you close your eyes and go to your next place of transition, because it's all, sex is a mental thing. It's a mental thing. And so some women and some men can enjoy an intimate and a great sexual relationship well into their 80s and 90s. So this is something that's very, you know, exciting for people who are moving forward in life, because if you haven't noticed, we're living longer. And as we're living longer, we're enjoying life in all areas longer too. So there's hope for all of us to look forward to longevity in that area of life if you want to.
Can I ask you about entering in the questions? I worked a long time in public health. I worked in Toronto when the AIDS epidemic was going, and we had workshops on questions people should ask each other. But how do you find people finding a comfort level in asking people about their sexual practices or partners or history?
Well, you know, and I usually share that you have to build a relationship, because everyone that you talk to, you're not going to talk about sex with, and so, or your sexual practices with. But when you are in a relationship with someone that is growing and you feel that that's going in that direction, and you may get there faster as because we're older, I like to say more vintage. But you just, it's an open conversation. It's not anything that's negative. You just ask the question, you know, how long has it been since you have been intimate? Do you have any history of any sexually transmitted infections in the past? You know, and so again, you wouldn't be asking this to someone that you're just going to eat pizza with all the time. This is someone that you know you're now in that deep space where you're thinking that you want to be intimate with. And I teach women and men to go get tested. And don't just take someone's advice that they've been tested. You need to see it in writing. You know, because just because you're 60, 70, 80 years old doesn't mean that you can't contract a sexually transmitted infection. I see it over and over again, because when we're relaxed as women, because we can't get pregnant, you know. So you just want to take care of your health and your partner's health. And if you're someone who knows that you have a sexually transmitted history, that's something that's longstanding. If you're in an intimate relationship with that person emotionally, at some point you should be able to share that information with that person. I met a young lady just, and she's not that young, she's vintage like me, but she was HIV positive and thought she never could have an intimate relationship again. HIV has come a long way, and this lady is now married to a partner who is not HIV positive, you know. So when we talk about intimacy and sex, just be open about it, you know, be open about it. And it's something that we're not used to talking about, you know. I didn't become comfortable talking about sex like this until I was in my probably fourth decade of life. And so, I think it's something that is learned. And once you are with someone that you have deep feelings for, it should come second nature to you. You know, don't make it like it's something harsh or something that's you have to be afraid of. It's just, sex is a part of life. You know, it's part of life. I hope I answered your question.
It is life.
It's life. That's right. It is life. And it makes you last, it makes you live longer too, gives you more life. So, any other questions for me?
A lot of times people are self-conscious about the changes in their body. How do you ease into showing your body to someone or feeling comfortable about your body?
Well, you know how I did? I was a mother of four. I had stretch marks all over. And this was after I had divorced after a 21-year marriage, and I was getting ready to be in a relationship with my now husband. It was like, oh my God, I have all these stretch marks. I don't look like I did when I was 20. Well, nobody does at 50, 60, 70. So you just ease into it and have to be more comfortable knowing that your body is a shows the journey that your life has gone through. So it's nothing to be ashamed about. And you just move into it slowly, you know. Initially, turn out the lights. You don't want to see, turn out the lights. At some point you can turn the lights on and you'll be comfortable, you know, but don't be afraid of your body. Now, for women, sometimes we suffer with some of the symptoms of menopause, like vaginal dryness and those type things. And we may think, oh, I'm too old to have sex. No, those are just menopausal symptoms that can be managed. I'm a nurse practitioner and we manage those symptoms. And it doesn't even have to be with hormones, to where that you can enjoy, you know, sexual intimacy well into your 80s and 90s if you want to. So it's not about being ashamed of your body. Just be comfortable with where you are in the journey that that body has taken you all these years.
Thank you very much. You've got a wonderful heart and sharing your information. It's just lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're so welcome. I want to tell you a little funny story. My husband always reminds me of when he talks about it when he gets close to our anniversaries. He'll say, remember the first time you had your, you know, we were getting ready to be intimate. And he says, you were covered all up. You had you were talking about your stretch marks and your scar here and your scar there. And I could care less about your scars, you know, so. Just be, again, be happy with the body that you have. Again, it's a statement of your journey through life. It brought you children here if you had children. It helped you make children if you're a man and you have children. So be more open to just being relaxed about this phase of your life. And there's nothing to be worried about, because if you're worried, the person you're with probably is worried too. So just relax for both of you.
Yoshimi, you do reflexology, right?
I used to a long time ago. I haven't for years.
Do you think, you know, they have a lot of talk about, you know, touching hands, Qigong. I was in a seniors meeting where they had everybody doing the break, doing different Qigong. Do you think that something like that is a way of easing into touching where you might have been close to someone, but 6 feet apart?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, were you asking me a question or you?
Yes. Do you think that that's one way of easing into a comfort in touching someone that you might have had one of the other levels of intimacy, like intellectual or creative?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just touch itself is just so, you could convey so much just by gently touching somebody's face, or you could do anywhere on the feet. Foot massages feel wonderful. You can, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, hold somebody or touch them or stroke just tenderly or whatever. Just anything to do with touch really, you know, can stimulate the, you know, mm-hmm. just the heartfelt.
Yeah.
Touch and yeah. Mm. I think any kind of touch is wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. So those are the phases that I had to share today with you as far as the different types of intimacy. Again, if you have any questions or have anyone that has me is trying to move forward in a relationship or just try to reboot yourself to where you're able to socialize again, feel free to reach out to me. And I would love to help. And remember, it's not all about sex.
Aileen is connecting.
It's not.
No, it's not.
I'm disappointed.
It doesn't have to be. It can be if you want it to be, though. Let me put that there for you. That's there for you. It's whatever you want it to be.
Well, I've had an interesting sexual life, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've had opportunities to have sex with women, which I declined. I've had sex with women that I've never had sex with women that I didn't love.
Okay.
I've had sex with men that I loved, and mm-hmm. I had sex with men that I didn't love.
Mm-hmm.
And I've loved men that I didn't have sex with.
Okay.
And life goes on. It's an experience, a continual movie. It changes from scene to scene. I've been married twice. I've lived as my mother called it, shacking up. With three different ladies that I totally loved, and life goes on. And mm-hmm. I'm 82, and I'm still looking for sex partners. So,
okay, there you go. You just there proved my point. You proved my point. You know, you can be intimate sexually as long as you want. You know, everybody's different. And if you don't, that's not the intimacy that you want. It's physical. That's okay, too. It's okay, too.
When can I read my poem, Charlotte?
It'll be in a little while.
It's called Intimacy. So, okay.
That might generate some more conversation around this topic. But I wanted to ask you about that question of talking. It's so much within public health, they talk about asking people questions. Mm-hmm. Have you found it in different relationships comfortable or possible to talk with people about their sexual health or their...
As far as me talking to them or people talking to each other?
People talking to each other.
To each other. I think right now this phase of life, it reminds me kind of, even though I was young in the 60s, it kind of reminds me of what I've heard of the 60s. People more open. They're more intentional. They can talk about sex, you know, especially the younger generations. Now the more vintage generations, we're getting there, you know, because we're living longer, we're healthier. We have no problem a lot of times talking about intimacy and sex. And those of us that do have a problem, eventually we do usually warm up if we're with the right person. And that's the key, you know, you have to be with the right person that you feel safe with, you have a connection with. I don't think that's a big problem in this age right now. Unless you're not with someone that's you're connected to. Now, if you're with someone you're not connected to, or this is a casual relationship, I think that would be more difficult because you tend to be more open with someone that you really feel connected and passionate about.
I was gonna not a question, but a comment that I think, in terms of touch, I think this whole couple of years of the pandemic has really been challenging and difficult, because I don't have a partner anymore, and I live alone, mm-hmm. and I think, you know, with the stuff around the virus, it's been very difficult to have any kind of physical contact, mm-hmm. because of the fear, and especially because, you know, we kept being told that we were a vulnerable group, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. because we're of a certain age. I don't quite know when that started, but anyway, what age you become part of the group. but I just want to kind of put that out, that, you know, in terms of intimacy, or there's also the whole aspect of that's something that I miss, not their sexual contact, just that, you know, just being touched by anybody, mm-hmm. maybe somebody's elbow.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's, you made me think about something else about being by yourself. There's intimacy with oneself. I don't know how comfortable you all are, if you're old enough to hear this conversation or not yet. But intimacy with self too.
You're talking about the big word starting with M?
Starting about masturbation. Yes, I am. Yes.
I think we're old enough.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, there's intimacy, self-intimacies, and that even will boost your self-esteem, makes you feel good, helps you to release endorphins. So even though we're coming out of a pandemic, I think we're coming out, they keep saying the numbers are going up again. You can still have experienced some of that physical intimacy with self until you're at a place where you feel comfortable getting into another relationship again or outside again with COVID. That's another form of intimacy, self-intimacy.
Yeah, well, there's certainly more places advertising, you know, I can't think of the names of companies, but advertising sex toys and products. Yeah. Do you think, is there anything, even Amazon has a section with sex toys. I didn't know they had a section with sex toys. And I was talking with somebody and they said, oh, you could go on Amazon. And they have these different
Walgreens. Walgreens.
But sometimes when older people ask for particular things, even sexy lingerie, people give them a second look. Are there any fast quips that you can think of saying to somebody who looks at you like, why would you be asking for that type of underwear? Why would you want something like that?
I think that's changing. I really do, Sister C. I think that's going to be changing because I know in healthcare, we're teaching people that there is no age that's not appropriate for lingerie or, you know, it used to be when we would talk about, I know when I was an LVN instructor and I was talking about sex with my students and we talked about the elderly, they called it at that time, having sex, they were just, no, they can't. And it's like now it's known that this is different. You know, we are a sexual being, you know, go to any, what are those resorts where, I can't pull the name out of my brain right now. The retirement type villages. I mean, there's intimacy going on all over the place, you know, in some of those places. There's swinging going on. I mean, this age group now, we're very open to change and we're very getting more comfortable with our bodies. And so it's not taboo anymore.
It's called teepee crawling.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that term before. I'm gonna have to put that in my list of things to look up.
Creepy crawling.
Yeah, crawling from teepee to teepee. It comes out of the movie Little Big Man. There was some teepee crawling going on in that movie.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot of that going on, you know, in these retirement villages. Because back about 10 years ago, we were starting to see a big rise in sexually transmitted infections, and they couldn't believe the numbers were going up there. You know, the numbers were not as high as the 20 year and 30 years old, but it was creeping higher than they thought it should ever be. And it's like I said, at this particular phase of life, you're comfortable, you can't get pregnant, and you're kind of being more intentional with your life, and all kind of things open up for you. So sex is not taboo anymore. It's a part of life. I just say be safe with it, you know, be intimate with it. If you're a widow, be very careful. And know your partner before you make that step and get tested.
Mm-hmm. Now, does anyone have any questions? A couple of us have some forms we're going to share. and we might see some responses to that. Neil, do you want to share your poem?
I'd love to. Okay. Don't hold me back. It's called Intimacy. A kiss so tender, it is but the touch of a feather. A caress so soft, so smooth, the sensation lingers. Intimacy is both pain and pleasure wrapped together in the same moment of desire to pleasure the other. Intimacy is a sharing of the breath that fills the space between with a sweetness and a longing to become one. The yearning is to destroy the ego and merge into a shared reality of caring and trust, personified into a loving bond. A kiss so tender, it is but the touch of a feather. A desire to transcend the limitations of separation and enfold into the joy of defenselessness, connection, into the open-hearted laughter of the child experiencing joy. Intimacy is also a mother's love of her baby unbound, her fierce guardianship, and held up as her gift to the world, while the father's gift of protection from the intrusion of a careless world wanting to devour the unguarded. Intimacy is a moment in love that shares a moment in love. It is soft and inclusive. It is deep within the truth of you and is always a moment of vulnerability where sanity is found. As a kiss, so tender, it is but the touch of a feather.
Mm. Oh my goodness. I'm a very visual person, so I could just say that was awesome.
I'm a very visual writer.
It's beautiful.
That's really, I like that.
And one of the things, you know, I bug people about writing, never have to bug Neil about writing. He writes, we've had 100 and how many episodes now, Leslie?
103.
So at least 70 of the 103, Neil has shared a poem. So, but one of the things that I found poetry was a healing form for me. I had an accident, wasn't able to do many things in life, and the poems allowed me to at first just yell at the things that I was mad about, things that I lost, but then slowly began to work and express love. And so I have a poem that I wrote, and it's in my book, From Pillows to Pillars, but I wrote it on a day, sometimes when there's an element of faith, which it says, speaking those things that are not as if they are. So this poem I wrote and I've performed and I've recorded, but during COVID, because COVID, there's so much about keeping your distance to write a poem about kissing. People said, oh, you can't release it now. I even have the poem set to music with a professional musician, but I haven't shared it. But the lady that's on, just her number is up, but Aileen is a member of a group that I belong to. And she bugged me about reading this poem and recording it. So, okay. Ah, when my man kisses me, champagne, chocolate cake, chicken a la king, strawberry shortcake, shrimp and lobster bisque, but don't lick your lips yet. I trade them all in for a kiss from my man. When my man kisses me, a shiver goes straight to my knees. The sun trades places with the moon, and the stars want to shine at noon. When my man kisses me, child, my heart sings for glee. Flowers start blooming all over town, and even the meanest folks lose their frown. When my man kisses me, my heart bounds up a tree. The chef finds what's been missing to earn his dish a royal blessing. When my man kisses me, it's beyond what you'd ordinarily see. Colors of the rainbow pass my eyes, and in the kitchen, something fries. Apple crisp, custard, cinnamon cake. Chocolate hearts are all that bake when my man kisses me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow, I love that. Oh, man, I love that one too. Oh. All right, Sister C.
So I waited and delayed releasing it during COVID because I thought people, that somebody, I mean, I had my friend, what I call the savvy 70s ladies, he said, release the poem, record the poem. Well, I recorded the poem, but I just thought, here's the Ministry of Health saying, wash your hands, keep your distance. And then the idea of you're going to put your mouths, you're going to encourage people to put their mouths together. So
that's it.
I'm going to be releasing that poem next month.
It's wonderful.
Yes. After you release that one, I'm going to be sharing that one too to my group. Okay. Well, that was wonderful, both of you. Thank you for sharing.
Did anyone, Anne, you might be quiet. Do you have, what do you think about this conversation?
Oh, I have a few thoughts. You know, I've been reading about the Johnny Depp. I don't know if any of you have been reading about the Johnny Depp situation where his former partner, I can't remember first name, Heard, last name Heard, and he are in court and they're discussing who did what to who and whose reputation was hurt. And it just reminded me of sometimes what happens in relationships, that they start out as people being ecstatic, and then sometimes they fall off the planet. So I'm wondering if anyone or Cheryl follows that and has thoughts about how that happens and how to avoid the highs and lows, the lows. And one thing I also want to add, that I have a little bit of an interest in that because I'm not someone who's had a lot of always having to have relationships. And sometimes I have friends who start out talking forever about how wonderful someone is, and I have to listen politely and be supportive, even though I'm not coming from the same place. And then down the road, they're on the phone again saying how awful that person is. And I have to be careful what I say, because one, I don't want to do negative, bad thinking. And also they may get back together again, and then they'll be mad at me in tandem. So I'm just wondering if you have any advice on how to not go, like, as they say, love is a drug. how to avoid those pitfalls and actually get to know the real person.
I would say one of the biggest things for me is right now is I don't feel people take enough time to get to know the person. Life is a journey. Relationships are a journey. They're going to have pitfalls. If we all had relationships that just were the same all the time, they didn't all have any highs and lows and in-betweens to put sparks in there, it'd be boring, you know? So I now look at those types of relationships as that's our life's journey, you mm-hmm. know? And so you take the good with the bad and you learn the lesson from that experience and you move forward. What did I learn from this? What did I learn from, you know, going through that? What did she learn from going through that? You know, and as a friend to someone who's more into being romantic and being in relationships when that's not a big thing for you right now, just a listening ear is all you can do. And that's probably what you're doing now, because you say you don't want to make her feel bad, because she may go back to the person that she left, just being a listening ear, because it's a journey. It's a journey. And sometimes it takes people time to learn from the experience that's put before them. You may have a friend that, you know, she's been in this relationship with someone and it fell apart. And then she's in another relationship, and it sounds like the same relationship she told you about the last time. she hadn't learned the lesson yet. So it's a lesson she is on track to learn, and that's her journey. And so as a friend, you just be there as a listening ear.
Well, so, 1 minute, Shimi, before you speak, we have to say goodbye to Cheryl. She at the beginning mentioned she's at a conference. The conference I used to attend there in Southern California. So thank you so much for sharing this much time with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure meeting all of you. And I look forward to those two poems.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Cheryl, you're a very brave woman. Good for you. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'll be back.
Smiling. Yeah, good.
All right. Bye-bye.
And then in our episode description, is it okay to put how to contact you?
Oh, sure.
Okay, we'll have that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd love to. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. It was rich information.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yoshimi, you were going to say something?
Yes, it's called Junkyard Dog. And so when I met my boyfriend, there was a real spark and everything, but there was a side to him that was a bit scary for me. But anyway, I just wanted to when I met him in 1991, he had gone through a marriage and devastating relationships. He's lost his children and all kinds of things. And he was in a men's group. And there was a lot of anger and mistrust and lots of fears about being in relationships in these different men's lives. And so anyway, this poem that I wrote, and it's called Junkyard Dog. You think yourself no better than a junkyard dog. You would raise your leg or finger in anger and defiance at the women who have done you wrong. You whip yourself unmercifully as life has whipped you. You growl, snarl, and bare your fangs to make your territory known. Until we scatter in fear and trepidation, you sit ragged and disheveled, feeling unlovable and alone. And that's where I entered the scene. Mm. And so many things have happened. And I always knew that there was a part in him that was totally lovable and decent and kind and had a big heart. Anyway, I'm still with him 31 years later.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's a happy story.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we've just grown together, and he's changed so much, as well as, you know, as he's changed me. And we've been mutually beneficial for each other. And so when Cheryl was talking about not giving up, or, you know, it's like, I really wanted to read it to her just so that would kind of, confirm her opinion about, you know, about things can change.
Yeah. I think that's reassuring to many of us, that things can change, because sometimes the point in life that you meet a person might be a really bad season for them, but then not being too quick to count them out, you miss on something that ends up being a really lasting enjoyable relationship.
And it actually gets better every year.
Wow.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
That would be something. Have you ever written a poem for him or for each other?
I mean, we express our love for each other all the time. Like, you know, I can see it in his face, his eyes, his voice. He phones me 10 o'clock every morning. And if I'm at my mother's place, he phones me 8 o'clock when I'm there. You know, I mean, he lives across the street from me. Maybe that's why we're still together. Hmm. But we see each other all the time. And so it's totally monogamous relationship. And I don't know, it's just, he's just so much fun. And we just intellectually, and we're very playful. And we're like, you know, kids. And I mean, he's a little bit younger than me and everything, but none of those things matter. It's just very enriching and fun. But no, I haven't written a poem about him, but I find it so difficult to do because I don't know exactly how I could even express how I actually feel because there's so much and I don't know how to condense it all down into a poem. How do you do that, Charlotte?
One line at a time.
Okay.
One of the ways that I like to put my thoughts on paper is to have a conversation with myself. Mm-hmm. And out of that comes the question is, how do you really feel? And you write the words down. How do you really feel about this, that, or the other thing? Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why you probably have a wonderful relationship is because you both have separate places. You have time apart as well as time together. Mm-hmm. That is very valuable. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my lady and I were talking about that very thing this morning.
I once thought if I could live a block away from my husband, we would be fine.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, he moved into my place for about almost 2 years, and my place is really, really small. And at that time, at the beginning, his routine was way different from mine, and he needed lots of space to spread all of his papers and his things. And mine was just too small. And so, yeah, I think, and there are women friends of mine who say that they wish that they had a relationship where they could live apart and still be a couple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Neil is a short story writer. We have Leslie, who writes memoirs and stories and haikus. These are rich things to put into stories because, you know, a lot of things that people actually practice in life are things that they've heard in songs or heard in stories. And just hearing that it's possible makes somebody who might wonder, could that work for me? So I encourage you to, all of the different imagery that you use when you were talking about the junkyard dog, those are all examples of imagery that you could use in talking about this wonderful things that you're finding in this man now.
Yeah, it's okay. I will tackle that.
And then Chris has shared a beautiful story of traveling with her partner coming up to the immigration gates, and you left a cliffhanger, and I need the book of the rest of that story, because they had everything packed, and they, you know, it was against the law at that time in Canada to have same-sex relationships, and they were she left us at the point that they were coming up to the gate. So I want you to, during June, give us the rest of the story and tell us where we can get the book and also record it, because it'll make a great audio story for someone to listen to.
Okay, I'll dig it out of the file somewhere.
isn't it one of the e-zines? Wasn't it one of the last book that you all published? Because you gave a teaser.
Yes, I think it's in the last book. Mm-hmm. I think it's in the last book that we published. Yes. Yeah. The other one that I'd like to record that I just haven't recorded is the one I wrote on being a widow. And that experience of that experience after Bridget died, of having to deal with all of the things you have to deal with,
yeah,
and all of the kind of for me the experience of discrimination that was mm-hmm. constant throughout that whole process. I just want to say I have quite a few friends who are in relationships and long-term relationships, 14, 15 years or so, and they live apart. A couple, they have condos on opposite sides of the street, a bit like you, Yashimi. And I know if Bridget and I lived together, but we had a very common background, and so we were very used to living together. But I think if I don't know that I'm not really thinking about or interested in another relationship at this point, but I think if I ever did, I would look for living separately, because I don't think I could go through again everything that it takes to actually get to that place where there's that comfort level in being together all the time, especially now we're retired, because that does mean being together all the time.
All the time.
Right. Some of you probably know that experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a delicious conversation. Yes. An hour has come. If we end it now, it will fit into Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon tomorrow morning. And I will say next week we will be, it'll be the beginning of the Mother's Day weekend, and we're going to have a special presentation by Kendra. But any of you who want to write a special Mother's Day poem or something reflecting on the holiday, bring it so you'll be able to share it next week.
Thank you, Charlotte. That's wonderful. Thank you for inviting the guest. Yeah, Cheryl. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for showing up. I was saying, suppose everybody says, no, I'm not old enough for that conversation, and they don't show up. So thank you so much for coming.
Or that I'm too old for that conversation.
Right. Good morning. Thank you so much for sharing Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. Again, this week you heard a dynamic discussion that occurred through the meeting of the Zoomsters at Powered by Age. We had our relationship coach, Cheryl Guidry, and she talked about intimacy, the intimacy within relationships and sexuality, sexual. It was hot. So thank you. Look forward to hearing you again next week. And when people ask me what time it is, I always say it's love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers.